The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sally Jenkins' new book is out, The Right Call. We've been talking about this for several weeks, people asking, when is Sal going to be on? Today it's Sally Jenkins, New York Times bestselling author. And this is a book that has so many athletes taking their stories and put them in a business sense. If you're a CEO, if you're in the business side of things, or you're looking for a Father's Day read, this would be it. I couldn't put it down. It's really good. So Sally Jenkins will be with us. That comes up at 10:20. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, as Sports 360 has motored on through the years, we appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union and their support. 12 years of doing this, getting out of the local TV racket and radio, and couldn't be happier and appreciate those of you that are with us day in and day out. We are self-funded. We appreciate our partners like Desert Financial. It's the way to go about it. All right, locally, Chris Paul's future. This gets leaked yesterday. This is how it goes down. So the agents get a phone call, and then the agents start deciphering it out to people. And maybe there's some people inside the Suns, but the way that yesterday unfolded, it read pretty clearly that the agents reached out to Chris Haynes, who put something out that wasn't really quite on the mark. And then Woj is put on the spot before the game, and Shams has something in The Athletic. And it's all fine. Insiders, that's their game. What I know to be true, if I'm going to take a step back and just look at Chris Paul and go back to how we discussed him in May, it was time for the Suns. It is time for the Suns to move on. I like Chris Paul, but when you get into May every year and you don't know, you're holding your breath. You could say, well, Brad, that's the way it is with every player. You can't have that at point guard. Can't. And you can try to manage minutes, which I think Monty Williams did this last year, which drove some people crazy. There's also the belief that Chris is about Chris. Not that he's not a good teammate. It's just Chris is first. And that's how it is. You know, you walk into an NBA locker room. Danny Ainge told me this years ago, and it's so true. It's, Brad, you got to manage 12 different corporations on 12 different islands with 12 different agendas. That's what goes on in an NBA locker room. It is. And so if you have a new coach, you have a new owner, and you have Isaiah Thomas advising the owner, even though he doesn't have an official title, you have Tom Izzo that's in the background. You just have a lot of different voices. I can't imagine a coach would want to sit there and say, well, we hope that we don't get a blown tire out of Chris Paul next year, because the window with Kevin Durant is so small. Now, it doesn't mean I wouldn't want him back at the right price, but I would want him to be that guy that would come off the bench. I wouldn't want him to have my starting point guard. Well, you're going to play 4 minutes here and 4 minutes there. Well, he gets warmed up. You're making up all of these rules for one player rather than just get out and play. Do I think Cam Payne is ready to be an elite point guard in the NBA? No, he's a nice player. So the Suns roster makeover is starting to show its hand a little bit, as it should. The DeAndre Ayton press conference note about elite rim defender and all that, it's what you're going to get at a press conference. It's what you're going to get at an opening press conference. 40 years I've heard this stuff. They're never going to say what really needs to be said. So would I be surprised if DeAndre was back? No, I wouldn't be surprised. Would I be shocked if they no. Would it be disappointing as the franchise would fail to have a number one overall pick live up to the billing, which is pretty clear with Luka down in Dallas? Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those you don't forget. So, you know, the Suns, it's early. The Chris Paul shoe getting out there a little bit. What will it look like when it drops on June 26th? We'll see. Watching Jokic last night drop 32, 21, and 10. And again, having to remind myself he was a second-round pick, and I said that over and over during the series while in Denver with the Suns, and watching him up close, his work ethic, his sense of humor. The NBA needs, sports in general just needs more people like Jokic that are just having some fun. And then they go out and they kill you. They're the quiet assassin. I hear this nonsense about, well, he's not a big enough personality. It's just give me basketball players. Just give me people to go out and do their job. I just don't care. I don't care about the number of social media followers. I don't care about anything other than can this guy show up, be a good teammate, ball, have some fun. We need more of that in sports. We really do. Messi coming to America. If I'm the big bad NFL where I do no wrong, I see no wrong, we got it all figured out. We care about player safety. Sure you do. And you had a 17th game. You don't. Gambling. Well, we can figure that out. Messi comes in and is going to go to Miami. And just the sheer amount, I don't even have the numbers in front of me, but what I read yesterday and even this morning in terms of buzz, followers, and all that stuff. And again, here's somebody that can play the game, not somebody that plays the social media game and says, look at me, I'm awesome. He just shows up, does his thing, moves on. He's with David Beckham. Great day for the MLS. Great day for soccer in the United States. The other sports leagues better look around. In the last few days, just thinking about the global ramifications of the LIV PGA and the sordid details that are coming out and the naivety of the players, they just want to show up and play golf. I felt bad for Rory McIlroy yesterday. I really did. And watching what he said, and he just was, I hate the LIV. I hate the LIV. I hate the LIV. And that soundbite has made its way around the globe. And Greg Norman is still under a rock and is trying to climb out from it. But I look at LIV PGA, and then I look at Messi coming to America, and I look at just the mushroom effect of sports globally. It's always been there. It's always been there. But the white hot focus on the worldwide reach of Messi coming to the United States for sports, Miami gear will sell worldwide. And yeah, the NBA can say that. The NFL can, there's a Tom Brady jersey on somebody climbing the Great Wall in China. Sure there is. But they're not close to the worldwide love of soccer. You know, people here in the States turn their nose up at it. When I said I'm going to do some Phoenix Rising games back in the day, Arizona United games, and people go, Brad, why would you stoop down? I'm thrilled that the ownership group is still here. Even though it's a USL team, they're still sticking with it. I'm thrilled that they're going to have a women's side. It's about time. I had lunch a couple weeks ago with one of their owners, Tim Reister, and we were talking about the growth of soccer. What Messi did yesterday for the United States teams, they all made a gob of money yesterday. The interest level will be off the charts. When he debuts for Miami sometime in July, and when they're showing games of him participating in August and September, I'll be really interested to see the NFL numbers. They're not going to beat him. It's not the point. It's how much market share, how much interest is going to suddenly sway over to MLS when Messi is on the front page of this and that and this and that. You can only put Patrick Mahomes out in so many places, right? You can only do so many stories. Messi is going to be interesting to big media companies that need those views, that need those impressions, that want those stories. Their consumers will expect it in those major markets. And so it doesn't matter if it's baseball, it doesn't matter what sports league it is. Messi coming on board is a shifter. It is a shifter for sure. Watched the Diamondbacks last night, start to finish. They were terrific. Zach Davies gets his first 24 starts without a win for Zach Davies. Overcoming injury and trying to build his confidence back up. That'd be nice. And look, the Nationals stink. We got it. They're not good. But they jumped on him early. Corbin Carroll hit his 11th. And they have Merrill Kelly going today. So a chance to get a three-game sweep. The Dodgers lost. I know there's the, look, it's early June and you're so excited about this? Yeah, because we've had nothing to be excited about with baseball season in a long time. A two-game lead in first place, best record in the National League over the Dodgers with an embraceable, young, fun group. Corbin Carroll's going to the All-Star game. Zach Gallen's going to be at the All-Star game. Merrill Kelly's pitching today, might be at the All-Star game. And so it's just a lot of good stuff. All right, Sally Jenkins is next. The Right Call, we'll get into it with Sally Jenkins. That is on the other side. I'm Brad Susmat. All right, as promised, I have been reading Sally's book. Sally Jenkins, I've been talking about it here for the last couple of weeks. With Father's Day coming up, and now it's out, I've been telling CEOs and just sports fans in general, this book crosses over a lot of different planes. And to have someone like Sally Jenkins, esteemed writer nationally, I've been reading the Washington Post forever. I feel like my post, I don't know, Sally, I had John Feinstein on his book about 6 weeks ago. It was great. And then this shows up and it's terrific. You know, the Post is getting it done, you guys. So thank you for
being. It's kind of like playing for the New York Yankees.
Right. You're the Aaron.
Sluggers Row.
You're the Aaron Judge. All right, this book, The Right Call. People are going to pick it up. I have it dog-eared all over the place. It's one of those.
Great.
Yeah, where I read through it and it's like, oh, the basis of there are the elements of a good process for anyone who wants to choose and act well in the face of extraordinary pressures. And these are athletes. What are those elements that people are going to read in this book?
Well, they're very basic elements. The problem is they're very vague terms, and we don't spend a lot of time defining them. Conditioning, practice, discipline, communication, candor, culture, you know, resilience in the face of failure, and then last but not least, intention. We spend a lot of time talking about all those subjects. Athletes and coaches offer a really rare opportunity to examine them in a very granular way. Most CEOs and leaders operate behind closed doors. Athletes and coaches operate in real time. And if we can analyze how they get to the right call, were there takeaways for us in our own lives, even you and me working at a desk from the neck up? So that's the point of the book, is to explore these concepts through really great athletes and coaches who make the right call more often than not.
Just throw a couple of names at you that are in the book. I don't want to give it all away, obviously, but you spend a lot of time on Peyton Manning. People are going to get about Peyton Manning. What is your favorite story of Peyton Manning within this book?
Well, I think the important thing to recognize about Peyton Manning is that, you know, he didn't come wrapped up in a box as a ready-made quarterback. People think that about him because his last name is Manning. He was a top draft pick. But by Peyton Manning's third year in the NFL, his record overall was just 32-32, and he was a leader in the league in interceptions. He really had to work on some weaknesses. One of his biggest weaknesses was his feet. His feet tended to get nervous under pressure. He sat down and looked at tape very closely with his coaches, Tony Dungy and Jim Caldwell, and they came up with a drill where in practice they would throw very heavy bags, sled bags, at his feet to imitate, you know, large defensive linemen diving at his feet to get his feet more stable under pressure. And it really affected his accuracy, you know. So that's an example of a great athlete who had a weakness, addressed it, analyzed it, admitted it, most crucially, and then went out and did something about it in a practical way on the field, you know, through real practical hardcore application. The rest of us don't do that very much. You know, if we have a weak backhand, we tend to run around it.
Yeah, no, that's right. The name of the book is The Right Call. Sally Jenkins, she's with us for a couple of minutes. Pick it up. Father's Day right around the corner, and a great summer read. Michael Phelps, who we're very familiar with here in the Valley, in this book. A thought on Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps was a great example of the impact of conditioning on the mind. Most people think of conditioning and all these athletic concepts as just purely their effect on the body. But there's a mountain of neuroscience that shows that physical conditioning, exercise, really affects your cognitive function. And a great example of that was Michael Phelps, the greatest race of his life was against Michael Cavitch in the 100-meter butterfly at the Beijing Olympics. And Phelps had to make a decision down the stretch of that race. It wasn't enough to just be great physically. He had to make the right call in the water in a split second. He made a decision to chop the wall, which was take a last second half stroke rather than just glide to the wall, which Michael Cavitch did. And it gets him to the wall 1/100 of a second faster. It was a deliberate decision under pressure, as rapid and intuitive as it seemed. It was a call, and he could only get there by being so alert and aware in the water through conditioning. The rest of us, the same is true. Chess players, if you look at grandmaster chess players, they'll burn 600 calories at a big tournament in a day. Just by way of comparison, you and me on a treadmill will burn about 100 calories on a treadmill. Your brain robs your body of the energy to function, and it affects all your judgments, your working memory, all the things that go into executive function. So don't imagine just because you're sitting at a desk that you aren't working quite strenuously.
You know, I felt like when you address the working relationship between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, but also Steve Kerr and Draymond Green, and rules or lack of rules, that a CEO or just anybody, even running a small business, can take a lot away from that. I know our time is short, but can you just encapsulate the idea of what the coach versus pupil relationship that you wanted to capture in the book?
You know, I think a lot of leaders mistake discipline. They think it's something that has to be imposed with real authority, you know, put your boot down on somebody. That's not how the great leaders work. The great disciplinarians, the people who are known as disciplinarians, they actually have very, very few rules. They do not actually have big rule books. That makes you a petty bureaucrat, not a leader. And so they have three or four very solid, hardcore rules that they then ask people to buy into. And if people don't buy into them, they're out of the organization. They don't spend a lot of time. Bill Belichick doesn't spend a lot of time trying to coax somebody around to his way of doing things. So discipline only works in a barracks when it's completely implemented from above. Great leaders like Steve Kerr, they get Draymond Green on their side of the argument. It's essential. There's great leaders are great explainers. That's the real separator between people who think they're leaders and people who really are leaders. Great leaders know they have to explain and clarify their thinking to others to get their buy-in, because followers, if they don't buy it, will take you down.
That's so true. The name of the book is The Right Call. Before I get you out of here, what are people going to get if they pick this up?
Well, they'll get a lot of stuff straight from the horse's mouth. They'll get a lot of Steve Kerr's own thoughts. He spent a lot of time with me on the phone. Peyton Manning, I spent some time with Peyton. Tony Dungy, they'll get things direct from people who operate in high pressure environments. You know, I'm just the interlocutor here. But they'll get some real takeaways, I think, for how to get better at their own jobs. You know, even if they don't think they can relate all that much to a Michael Phelps or a Peyton Manning, the truth is there's lots of takeaways from these people, and we underuse them in examining executive success.
There's so many other names, Pat Summitt, Diana Nye. I mean, I could go on and on, the people that Sally put into this book. It's well done. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Sally Jenkins, again, the name of the book is The Right Call, and it is out. We're back with more after this timeout.